Lord's Hill Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
We have been looking at chapter 3, verse 16 of various books of the Bible. And today we continue with that series as we look at Galatians 3:16 and a message entitled, You Have an Inner Man. Galatians 3:16, which reads this. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. Scripture does not say, and to his seeds, meaning many people, but to your seed, meaning one person who is Christ. Many of the delightful things we anticipate in our lives are based on promises. We enter into relationship with people whom we care about, and in the broader sense, organizations through promises. The word promise itself, it's filled with realities. We love it when someone makes us a promise. And it has the intention of goodwill built into it. It is a kind of a pledge of love, a pledge of loyalty, a pledge of faithfulness, and a pledge of integrity. A promise would mean a guarantee, a vow, or a word of honor. However, there are more promises these days that are broken than kept. Most people give their promises with the intent of deceit. They are selfishly construed, leaving the other party hurt and sometimes leaving them with irreparable damage. A man who keeps his promise is regarded as a person of honor and integrity. Biblically, a promise is a covenant. God called Abraham and he made him a promise. The word promise refers to God's promise made to Abraham that in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. The Lord said to Abraham, leave your country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. God made Abraham a blessing to the world through Jesus Christ, a descendant of Abraham. Christ is the one who brought salvation to the world. This promise involved being justified by faith. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then, that those who believe are children of Abraham. All nations will be blessed you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Galatians 3:6-9. This covenant is settled and ratified in Genesis 15 and cannot be annulled. He took him outside and said, "Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them." Then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." On the Lord's instructions, Abraham took a heifer, a female goat, a ram, a turtle dove, and a pigeon, then cut them in half and laid the two sides of the animal opposite one another with a path in between them. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham, and behold, a dreadful and great darkness fell upon him. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between the pieces. This was the ratification. Ordinarily, both parties to a covenant would walk between the slain animals, whose blood would symbolically ratify the covenant or agreement. But in this case, God alone walked through, indicating that the covenant, though involved promises to Abraham and his descendant, was made by God with himself. The covenant was unilateral and entirely unconditional, the only obligation being on God himself. Abraham didn't have to do anything. Abraham didn't have to walk through the blood of the animals. In fact, when the covenant was made, when God walked through the blood of the animals, Abraham was asleep. It was a covenant of grace. God made a covenant with Abraham. Abraham did not make a covenant with God. So this covenant that God made was based on the integrity of God himself. This covenant cannot be broken. It is irrevocable. It doesn't matter what happens. No one can amend it. No one can add to it. No one can take away from it. The onus is on God to make his promise. Paul, in his epistle to the Galatians, revealed another wonderful truth. God made this promise not only to Abraham, but also to Christ and to thy seed. And to thy seed, which is Christ. The stress on seed and not on seeds was made to remind us that the faithful in Israel had always recognized that blessing will ultimately come through a single individual, the Messiah. And Matthew declared Christ to be the son of Abraham at the beginning of his gospel. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. Just as Abraham believed and was counted righteous by faith, anyone who believes that Jesus Christ is Lord shall be saved. It is not by works, but by faith that salvation is bestowed on us. It is for this reason that Paul admonishes the Galatians for their foolishness at the beginning of chapter 3. He says, I would just like to learn one thing from you. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by your own human efforts? It is not by works. It is by faith. The law of Moses is by works. The promises to Abraham is received by faith. The epistle to the Romans throws some more light on faith leading to salvation. But now, a righteousness from God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The amazing transformation that took place on our redemption means that Jesus Christ comes to live in us. Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I was put to death on the cross with Christ, and I do not live anymore. It is Christ who lives in me. I still live in my body, but I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself to save me. John chapter 1, 1 John 4:13 also emphasizes this. We know that we live in God and He lives in us because He gave us his Spirit. We have seen and can testify that the Father sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God has God living inside, and that person lives in God. Wow. So by faith, we invite Christ into our lives. We learn that we have this bodily form. But in this bodily form, Christ comes to live in our body. It shows us that if we profess that we are Christians, we are like any other person who has a bodily form. But the difference is that we have Christ living inside of us. Jesus Christ Himself threw some more light on this. on the indwelling Spirit, as he speaks in John 17, 20 to 23. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one, as we are one. I in them, and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved me, and you have loved them even as you have loved me. Wow. You have an inner man, and that inner man is Christ living in you, the hope of glory. The indwelling Spirit comes to firstly give us direction. A life lived in Christ is a life lived in a particular direction. It is a life that is lived in obedience to Christ in every part of life, and a life lived in service to God. When Christ comes to live in a person, their heart is changed so that they do what Christ will do. They begin to live a life of obedience in purity, obedience in love, and obedience in service. John Stephen Piper, founder of desiringgod.org, puts it this way. There is a new I do still live, but look who it is. It is no longer an I who craves for self-reliance or self-confidence or self-direction or self-exaltation. The new I looks away from itself and trusts in the Son of God, whose love and power was proved at Calvary. From the moment you wake up in the morning till the moment you fall asleep at night, the new eye of faith despairs of itself and looks to Christ for direction and the motivation, courage, protection, and enablement to walk in joy and peace and righteousness. What a great way to live. A few years ago, a banner came out, and most people have embraced it. It was a big, big theme. It hasn't gone away, and it is being resurrected today. The question is, what would Jesus do? In the situation that you find yourself in, what would Jesus do? In the situation that you find yourself in, what would Jesus say? In the situation that you find yourself in, what help would Christ give? Secondly, living in Christ is about living in the power of the Spirit. Romans 8, verses 3 and 4 says, "For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering and to be condemned, his flesh. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Living in Christ ushers us into the privilege of living in the Spirit's power. The power of the Spirit of God is present within us to help us remain in Christ, to help us walk in Christ, and to help us to proclaim Christ. We do not live in our own power, but in the power of the Spirit of God. Living in Christ involves surrender to the power of the Holy Spirit. I surrender all. I surrender all. To thee only, I surrender all. Do you? Have you made that decision? I surrender all. What I have is yours. I surrender all. What I will be is you. I surrender all. Take my life. And let it be. Thirdly, Christ lives in us so that our lives might tell the good news of how his death has made a difference in our lives. The purpose of our living, of our being in Christ, is so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our mortal bodies. 2 Corinthians 4:11 says, "We are alive, but for Jesus, we are always in danger of death, so that the life of Jesus can be seen in our bodies that die." When Christ is in us, it is not only this logical perspective which will move us to be involved in proclaiming the gospel. It is rather the very presence of Christ in us which will move us to let others know of his great gift. When Christ is in us, it will be the love of Christ which compels us to preach the good news. When we know that we have been redeemed and forgiven and been set on the course of a new life, we cannot but proclaim the good news. Jesus tells us to go and make disciples of all the peoples of the world. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything that I have taught you, and I will be with you always, even until the age of time. Again, living in Christ means living in his presence, maintaining a relationship with him. Oh, you have been born again. Your life should tell the story. Your life should be a life of praise. Your life should be a life of witness. This involves us reading His word, listening to Him, and communicating with Him all the time. Being in His presence being with us. Jesus says in John 15, that I am the true vine, and you are the branches. And unless you remain in me, you cannot produce any fruit. So the Christian life is a life lived in constant daily relationship with Jesus Christ. Wherever we go, whatever we do, whoever we meet, we are always functioning in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, you have become sons and daughters of Abraham. Hallelujah. And because of the promise that was made to his seed, Jesus Christ, the promise of redemption is to all who believe. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and I will dine with him and he with me. A man is justified and saved by faith in Christ without any works or merits of his own. Amen.